The boys are back in town. Welcome to the Deadlock Podcast, episode number 148.
I am doing a brother check-in.
I am brother checking in.
I am...
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. That's how we know the show is going.
We are going to be talking about Raw from March 22nd, 2004.
Holy shit, why?
This is the first ever draft lottery.
Now, don't be confused. It is not the first draft, which we already have also reviewed. This is the first draft lottery, which is... They don't get to choose, really, anyone.
Lottery-style, Royal Rumble Tumblr style, where they pick a random name out of a hat.
Imagine if that's how they did, like, real sports drafting. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be way so better.
That'd be cool as hell. But yes, first ever draft lottery Tumblr style, where they got the little balls.
Before we get into that, updates from Deadlock.
That's us.
Watch This 91 is up.
Some say it's Watch This 100.
Well, they would be technically wrong. It's Watch This 91. Chris Brooks versus Shunma. Tony?
Tony.
I don't know. I'm still asking you.
Suda Katsumata in a coffin Lego fuckfest.
For the...
Tony?
Hardcore championship of
Extreme
the world.
Extreme championship.
That's right.
DDT style. Johnny?
Yes. yes, very good. We go Joker mode in it as well. So this is the technical Watch This 100, which is awesome because we also get a real Watch This 100 and 9 more episodes.
Yeah, the real one.
We get to double down on
the
their anniversaries.
One, the one and only 100.
Yes. Speaking of the Patreon, there is a sneak peek of the DPW National Championship in the DPW tier on our Patreon.
I saw that sneak peek on Patreon before I saw that you sent it to us. I said,
check
what?
The group chat.
That's awesome. Patreon's very important to me. I had to check that first. But it looks awesome. Very excited to see it. And you, if you want to get a little preview of it before the event, and the DPW tier, check that out. Also, in the DPW tier, the behind-the-scenes video for DPW No Pressure went up on that sumbitch.
Yes,
a lot of shenanigans.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah, a lot of it. Plenty of it.
SGH will also be up by the end of this month.
Yes, SGH for the month of... June. Ooh, I didn't realize what month. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. And we decided that we, for SGH, are going to watch something very, very exciting, chosen by username Mother Schmucker on the Patreon. We are watching Scooby-Doo and the WrestleMania Mystery. I'm pretty sure that's what the name of it was. Right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. WrestleMania Mystery. Yes.
I think that's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
From 2014. I've never seen it before. And boy, oh boy, has Scooby changed.
Scooby is crazy in this movie, actually. That Scooby is just another character talking.
He's just a dude on the show.
Crazy. Just having a good time speaking sentences and shit. Just crazy.
So that'll be up by the end of the month in the $10 tier. So watch this $5 tier, that plus SGH in the $10 tier, and all the DPW stuff in the $15 tier, and you get all that stuff below. And of course, the $1 tier, you get the podcast feed where you get to see Tony make a silly face like this one.
Whoa. Speaking of Tony making silly faces, DPW Showdown in the Carolinas is on July 10th in Durham, North Carolina.
Yes.
DPW will be making its Durham debut at the Durham Armory, where we'll be crowning the first ever DPW national champion as Calvin Tankman goes head-to-head with Kevin Koo.
They are going to beat the absolute shit out of each other. Of course, that will also premiere on DPWOnDemand.com, which is firing on all cylinders. A lot of cool stuff up on that sumbitch, and even more cool stuff coming in the future. We have a lot of stuff announced already for the show. We announced a big fucker six-man scramble that'll have Diego Hill, Mason Miles, James Ryan, Adam Priest, Donnie Ray, and LeBron Cozone. Got a couple debuts
Whoa,
there.
What a match.
Guys that are
Holy
looking
shit.
to to steal a spot here at DPW. All the spots are here.
Yeah.
The tag team titles are on the line once again. It's Chris Danger's NDA. Patrick Scott and Chance Reiser take on the debuting Myron Reed and Jordan Oliver Injustice, which got a great reaction. Everyone is very excited for Injustice to come in.
I think that match is going to be very, very good.
Yeah, me too. That's going to be actually crazy.
Yeah, the whole card is actually crazy.
Yes. Speaking of crazy, we have Lucky Ali and BK Westbrook, two just pieces of garbage, taking on Jay Malachi. And I think for the first time ever in DPW, a mystery partner. Jay Malachi is struggling to find a partner because he was, you know, he was obviously teaming up with Lucky, and BK was there too. So I don't know if, you know, Jay Malachi probably made a lot of enemies along the way being alongside Lucky. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can find somebody to team up with on July 10th. We have the Golden Opportunity match for a future DPW World Championship shot. KZT, Sawyer Wreck, and Kid Bandit. That's a crazy-ass match.
What?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Wow.
That's fucking...
Only one can win that opportunity,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's fucking going to be pretty cool to see. Tag team action. We got the War Horsemen taking on Chase Holiday and Sean Kemp. Just two tag teams that don't know how to not beat the shit out of people. They only hurt people, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and
both teams wanted a fight and they got one.
It's gonna be pretty fucking cool to see them whoop each other's ass. Colby Carino's hardcore, I guess, open challenge was immediately accepted. And I still don't know how this happened. Kluel is has accepted the challenge. Kluel is coming to DPW. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. And the picture we got for him here for this match card is insane. This guy is a crazy, crazy bastard.
He's a crazy guy. And if you visit his Twitter, he just talks about how many people want them to fuck their wives.
Kluel fucks wives, long dick style. Colby's not ready for that.
Colby, you better watch out. And of course, as James said, we are crowning the DPW National Champion, Calvin Tankman and Kevin Koo, culminating in the finals of the National Championship Eliminator Tournament. This show is crazy. And we got some more stuff to announce very soon as well.
DPWTIX.com, July 10th in Durham, North Carolina. Don't miss this. It's a fucking sweet show, and I know you'll enjoy it. DPWOnDemand.com for all your DPW needs, playlists, fucking shows, everything you could ever want up there. Crazy stuff. Check that out.
DPW No Pressure was all-timer stuff. You should watch it as well.
I agree.
Wasn't the best segue for you. Sorry about that. But now let's talk about the Patreon shoutouts.
Yes, the Patreon.
Hey, what are you doing? You're sitting on your couch. You're not doing anything with your life. Go ahead. DPW.
You're not writing notes. You gotta watch it right now.
You're not sending the notes.
You're not using Windows. You're on Linux.
DPWOnDemand.com right now, you son of a bitch.
DPW No Pressure was good.
It was awesome. No, you gotta sell this pay-per-view. Gotta sell it.
Yeah, DPW No Pressure was great.
DPW No Pressure was good.
Super good, man. I'll tell you about it some more if you want me to. But I won't, because we got some Patreon shout-outs to read, James.
Yeah, there we go. They're sending it right back to the Patreon shout-outs.
Yeah, there we are.
Before we get to that, let me tell you, DPW No Pressure was good.
Yeah, you're right. You can check out the behind-the-scenes of DPW No Pressure on Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, let's take a look at the Patreon shout-outs.
Look at that segue. Holy
like
shit.
Shit.
Only here on the Deadlock Podcast. But also on Patreon, which you can check out right now. Starting at $1, $5, $10, and the
all
DPW
the tiers are here.
But speaking of Patreon, you can check out the list of Patreons, as James is going
to
tell you right now.
You can hear yourself get shouted out if you sign up to the Patreon by James, and here we go. We got a lot of tiers.
Yeah, we got tears and tears. Starting in the $1 tier, David Camarina.
Yeah.
Jules Pigott.
Hello.
Snowballing your mom, Dookie style. You
no.
already know.
Oh, what the fuck? No, man.
Curry Man.
Ah.
Vladimir Badman.
Not the Badman.
Buck Dog.
What the dog
Saturnista.
Doing? Hello.
Dick. The cock
yes,
Johnson is real, and he ate my ass in the paint section at Home Depot.
What is going on?
Can y'all watch SpongeBob SquarePants Season 3, Episode 17 on Watch This?
That's the next one. I'm writing it down.
French superstar John E. Blood, the Hello. E stands for Le Overdrive,
fuck
mange
you.
Le corn le long way.
I don't know what that means. I don't
Mad trickster. Cody McIntyre. $5 tier. Steven Anderson. Nate Ooh. The Snake.
Hello, Nate.
Isaiah M. Oscar Ooh. Guerrero.
Hello, Oscar.
OMG, so cool.
That's me.
Gabe Hernandez.
Hello, Gabe.
Talon Wise.
Talon.
Nazir J.
Big J. Tor.
Door. Goldberg eats corn the long way.
Oh, that's a pretty good
Real
one.
Real Aaron GK.
Hello.
Lachlan R.
Hello.
RoboCop 2. Austin
yes.
Whitmer.
Mm,
Connect.
Austin.
Ah! Lethal Street. Wrestle Perks 2.
Oh, the Perks?
Ginger Snaps.
Oh, that sounds good.
Steven Robolski.
That's a crazy name.
How would... Tony, you want to take this one?
That's Joao.
Joao. Yeah, All Stone Cond.
No, I fucked. That was me, and someone's making fun of me typoing on what? The podcast what thing. I quote tweeted the pod on Monday.
You said this?
I just woke up and I said, "Oh, Stone Cond." For some reason,
Old Stone Cond.
The letters.
That's not even close.
You switched the L and the N.
Old Stone Cond.
You switched the L and the N. Classic. I don't know how it happened, but that's what I did.
Bash the Outcast. $5.69. Bitches always want to hop on ya. What the dog doing, dick? Cock, especially when your name is Slick Rick Knox the Dick Dick Cox Johnson.
Damn, that's
$10. Now hold on a minute here. This Uh-oh. Guy's up here twice.
Tony.
Steven Anderson.
Steven. No, that's an email thing.
Steven,
email
you
thing.
Son of a bitch.
Adam
How dare
Davis.
You upgrade?
Screech the Rat. I'm Black Snow.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
Blue
God.
I'm Blue
Shane
God as
Rudolph.
Well.
Evan Anderson.
Hello.
Javaris Carter.
Javaris.
Carlos Moda.
Yes.
Sneak.
Oh, okay. You
Big Daddy
Huel.
Book a Jamie Hayter match now.
Yeah.
Yeah, emails are awesome.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kala.
Check them out.
Jordan Allen.
Ooh,
I'm going to inject a lethal dog into
what?
My dog.
What?
I mean Johnson.
What?
I mean cock.
You're going to inject a
what
lethal cock
hell?
Into your dog?
I don't want a boy girl party. I want a super kick party. Ski
Boring.
Whoa, what the Johnny doing? Don't know. Insert other deadlock memes.
Eat shit.
Aaron McBurney. Ty Luce. E the squared.
Hello.
Big dick. Ate my cock. Johnson style. Suplex King. Dick. Duh. I haven't felt the touch of a woman in years. Please help me. Johnny, are you single and are you
no.
willing to wear a wig?
Yes.
Johnson. Omri Kernut. Kernut?
Kernut? Kernut?
Tony?
Kernut. Kernut, probably, right?
Omri.
Tony.
Omri. Johnson. $15. Sean.
Hello.
Dick. The cock. Johnson's non-Mexican equivalent.
Oh.
Senor Dick El Pito Johnson.
I don't know if that's actual translation there.
Tyson Weeb.
Hello, Tyson.
DJ Lee.
Hello, DJ.
Cameron Ferguson.
Hello.
Now,
welcome
hold
to
on
the
a
team.
Minute.
They upgraded.
Tony.
Book a Jamie Hayter match now.
All right.
Yeah,
got
emails.
It. I'll send a third email.
Daniel Reyes. The two-time back-to-back pussy eater world champion. Lick the clit vagina. Jamie Debert. $10 annual. Now, wait a minute. Tony!
Tony, what the fuck?
Tyson Weave, yeah? Do you?
I'm telling you.
$120 annual. Money sign. Johnny Money Money
Ooh.
Sign.
I'll take that.
What's with the comedy bullshit in the Deadlock Podcast Patreon shouts out? They need a limit on name size. Anyway, my name is $180 annual Jarrett Green.
Ooh.
And still the Patreon champion of the world at $105 per month. Donut the Cass Johnson.
Donut Cass, still the champion in
Incredible. We need,
save us from a bro champion.
We need old Stone Cold.
We need the real Stone Cold.
No,
thank you, Donut Cass.
We need old Stone Cold.
I need the real Stone Cold. Thank you, Donut Cass, for real, close. For being the champion. That's fucking super awesome. Very, very much appreciated. Oh, James, there's actually one you missed.
What I missed?
There's one right here. I just sent the. There was one that you missed there. I just sent it right now.
$14.99 DPW. No pressure was good.
There you go. Hey,
I agree. Good name.
I also agree with that one. Great name. Thank you for supporting our Patreon, everybody.
All right, let's get into WWE Monday Night Raw for March 22nd, 2004.
Oh, yeah.
The first that's ever draft lottery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Desperate times called for desperate measures here. WrestleMania 20 sucked. No, I'm kidding. At least that's what at least that's what the Observer would make you think.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure.
Well, it was Goldberg and Brock, so like Goldberg and Brock are gone, so they're doing anything to shake things up again. We gotta shake things up again for the fifth time. So we have some Observer notes here. Not too much WWE stuff, but really just to put you in the caps of all the crazy dumb shit that was going on at the time. Like we have here for March 15th, 2004 Observer, the 3-5 Arena Mexico main event saw a weird ending as Vampiro, the NWA light heavyweight champion, walked out during his title defense against Black Warrior. I guess this was unplanned and Vampiro was supposed to retain the title, so it was ruled a no contest. The local newspaper reported the match was a mess. I like that the local newspaper said this match sucked. The crowd disliked it, and that Vampiro was an embarrassment for what he did. They even asked why the commission didn't strip him of his title and went so far as to ask why there even is a commission if they allow stuff like this to go on. Vampiro's version of the story, and you certainly can take that with a grain of salt, is that he booked the finish, but the regular booker, Panico, asked him to drop the belt the night of the show. He walked out during the match, taking the belt with him and left the arena, and then he came back in and went crazy on everyone and won't be returning for a month.
Something gonna happen.
That's what I was saying. That just seems like every event in Mexico or something like that happens. Yeah, I feel like
that's every, yeah.
Every time I hear something about a show in Mexico or something, it's something exactly like that, almost to a T.
I want you to drop the belt. No!
No way!
I'm out of here! Play my fucking music!
Hit it and cut it, because I'm out.
Turn this fucking music off. I'm not going out. Now play my fucking music.
I'm winning tonight. You're not booked, and I'm over.
I think I'm going to walk out with the DPW national title. I'm going to walk out of the building.
I'm cool with that. Okay.
I heard that I booked the finish, and I also didn't like it. So
you booked it? Whoa. Who gave you this power? Who gave you the pencil?
Buff Bagwell called into Harley Race's radio show on 3-9 complaining that he hasn't been able to get work. Harley Race said he tried to get him booked in NOAH.
Nice of him.
I just wanted to put that in there because it seemed outrageous.
That is outrageous.
But wow. Bagwell called his radio show to get booked in NOAH.
They would do that a lot. NOAH would send dudes to Harley Race's school
they
for
would,
excursion.
Because he booked a lot of foreign, like a lot of American talent for...
They keep him in the... because Harley Race had like a dojo, you could sleep there.
Do you recall any Buff Bagwell in NOAH matches? Did he make it?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Let's I assume that he was in that big stable of Gaijin that they have.
NWO?
There's another one now.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to do my due diligence here and see if 2004 Buff Bagwell had any NOAH bookings, and doesn't look like any Japan tours. So Harley Race lied on radio.
Wow.
And you should hold him to that.
It worked.
Speaking of outrageous things, there was apparently a backstage altercation between Rey Mysterio Sr. and Santo, who both should be old enough by now to know better. I didn't write that. That was in my note. At the 222 show in San Jose, Mysterio Sr. has had a bad shoulder, but of course works regularly on it. Apparently, Santo gave him a stiff chair shot to the shoulder. As the story goes, Rey Mysterio Sr. asked Santo why he did it, and Santo felt he didn't have to answer. The two started arguing, and Mysterio hit him. And started kicking. And, oh my god, he punched him, knocked him down, and then started stomping him out.
Mexico wins again.
Someone who has not been identified tried to break it up, but the original psychosis kept Demon Jr. from doing so. Wait. Did he just identify him once?
And then Jeff Jarrett walked in and started the whole thing.
For doing so, since Mysterio Jr. is a friend of and mentor, allowing Mysterio Sr. to get more kicks in on Santo on the ground. It's a combination of Mysterio Sr. having a hot temper and Santo not being liked by many due to envy because he makes so much more money than anyone else.
What?
That's fucking. Fuck. Why'd you hit me? This is an era that I wish I had been a part of. Watching people punch each other in the back and stomp them out. I would have joined in on the stomping out just because it feels like the right thing.
Put
to
the
do.
Boots to him.
Yeah, why not? Howard Stern on 3-9 was asked about doing WrestleMania. He said he was asked by Vince again this year. He's been asked many times by Vince to do big shows, but the WWE writers couldn't come up with anything entertaining for him to do. He said he asked Vince what he wanted to do, and Vince said, well, what do you want to do? He said he doesn't know. He doesn't exactly spend his days thinking about ideas he could do on a wrestling show. he also said that he was looking for $1 million to do the show, and Vince was talking about $5,000 or $10,000, so they were far apart. He said he'd need more than $5,000 to lower himself to do a wrestling event. Now, how much do you think we get Howard Stern for now? Or maybe at least, how about, Beetlejuice is still around.
Yeah, he is. He's a crazy dude on Instagram.
He'll do another guitar shot.
I feel like he would want to give the guitar shot.
I think that'd be. I think that'd be worth $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, whatever. Five or ten, whatever.
That's how we'll. I will give you five or ten.
All right, that sounds good.
That's great. The March 22nd, 2004 Observer. This is pretty. Interesting one. Flair was on ESPN2's Cold Pizza. Hey, Tony. On 3:10. And because of all the baseball controversy and because John McCain was going to be on later talking about steroid use in sports, Flair was asked about the subject. He said there's no steroid use in WWE that the company randomly tests and they are absolutely prohibited. Meltzer says, well, if he went in his time machine and went in his 1992, he'd be pretty close to correct. he said he'd never seen anyone do steroids, but had heard rumors and said, if you can't get it done in your own abilities, then go home. You don't belong here. Not that this will happen, but the same company was devastated by a legendary blonde world champion who said almost the same thing, but at least the other guy didn't try to claim the entire promotion was clean, just himself. And speaking of blonde world champions, Triple H was on ESPN radio the next day and asked the same question. He didn't seem ready for steroid talk because he's usually calm and relaxed discussing the subject and suddenly got real nervous and started stumbling. When asked if he used steroids, he nervously said no. He said that while athletes have gotten big...
He just guessed nervously.
No. Who's asking?
Maybe.
He said that while athletes have gotten bigger in other sports, the size of wrestlers have declined, which he tried to use as evidence to few doing steroids. He said he can't speak for every other work in the country, but said overall there is no problem. Meltzer says, that's such crap.
Let them know.
Triple H says, no, bro. Everyone's clean. I'm super clean, too, for sure. Doesn't get any cleaner than the game. Jim Ross, in an interview with the Wrestling Guys radio show, said he wouldn't be surprised to see Austin wrestle at least another match. He said nothing is on the drawing board, but if his health continues to improve, they may do a retirement match at the right time and under the right circumstances. JR was just 10 years too early. Yeah. The March 29th Observer. The story on ICP is that, this is about TNA, by the way. The story is that ICP is that they set up an after-show party on 317, but when they called to find out what their match was, they were told they weren't booked. They were told they could work on Explosion and do an interview or an angle for the on the pay-per-view. They called back after being told that and said they were not interested. Since you're not interested in using us, we're not going to come. So they just did their party instead.
That's awesome. JCW's still rocking today.
They still do shows, right?
Yeah, they do.
That's fucking awesome. I would love to. The ICP fans, like, any show, indie show that I've gone to that just have, like, something to do with ICP on them always doubles the crowd, if not triples it. Like, they they pack a fucking house. Yeah. I don't know if it's still the same now, but like, this was like probably like 08, 09. Philly indies would always have the fucking clowns in and rock just up the fucking crowd. Of course, they wound up with major heat among the wrestlers, all of whom at one point or another had worked Explosion, with the idea they didn't come because they thought they were too good for the show. But then ICP posted on their website saying they're on good terms with TNA and wish they could be there to hang out with Mike tonight.
What the hell?
James, Joe, check this out, man. What's JCW that? Volume 1 had titties and thumbtacks match.
Whoa, who's in it?
It looks like it is Angel versus Chick Foley.
Whoa, that's awesome.
And it was titties also called Juggalo Champion Shit Wrestling.
That was. I wish they would have stayed that, honestly.
Yeah, they decided they're going to get a little more serious. So, of course, when Bloody Mania comes around, they have Sabu and ICP versus the Young Altar Boys and Trent Acid as the main event.
Anytime
the Louisville
anyone...
Slugger thumbtack bat match.
That's nothing compared to titties and thumbtacks, though. Is that you have to have your titties out or the winner gets titty thumbtacks or loser?
I don't even know where you start with that. Yeah, maybe like that's something we might need to explore later on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things we should explore.
Yeah, I know at least one.
Yeah. Anytime anyone brings up Sabu, by the way, I immediately think at one time Sabu had a Facebook page, and you know how you have to like it was like a personal account, so you have to like have like a first name, last name. Sabu's Facebook name was Sabu, 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 Sabu.
Dude, listen to the first Bloody Mania card here.
Let me see.
There's 5,800 in attendance.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That
first
is
off.
Packed.
That's Ultimo great. Dragon versus Jimmy Jacobs in the first match.
Okay.
Pogo the Clown versus Abdullah the Butcher and Jake the Snake Roberts.
What?
That's a three-way.
Okay, that was handicapped.
Louisville Slugger, Thumbtack Bat Match, Too Tough Tony versus Bull Payne.
That's sounds
tag
right.
team match, Too Cold Scorpio and Just Incredible versus
Holy
Nosawa
shit.
And the Great Muta.
What the fuck?
Singles match, Ron Killings beats Tracy Smothers in 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Okay.
A JCW tag team title, 8-team elimination match.
Holy fuck.
They
what
did
the teams?
They did an 8-team elimination match in 21 minutes. I don't know how this is possible.
That's very
what
impressive.
The they had Pondo and Necro Butcher.
Okay.
Axel and Ian Rotten.
Okay.
Jorge Santana and Tito Santana.
Okay.
Akira Raijin and Brute Ishii. I guess this is Team All Japan.
Okay.
The Basham Brothers.
Whoa.
Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine.
The
Head Shrinkers. And
wow.
Human Tornado and Zach Gowen, known as the Pimp and Gimp Connection.
Holy fuck, man.
And Pondo and Necro Butcher won that match.
That makes sense.
JCW heavyweight title was Corporal Robinson against Scott Hall.
Corporal Robinson had the JCW title, I feel like, for the entirety of my knowledge of JCW.
And then six-man tag main event, Sabu and ICP versus Young Altar Boys and Trent Acid with Antisocial.
Who are the Young Altar Boys?
The Young Altar Boys were Young Altar Boy number 1 and Young Altar Boy number 4. Young Altar Boy number 4, also known as Silas Young.
Oh my God, what?
Young Altar Boy number 1, also known as Kevin Kruger or Kurt Kruger or Weed Man.
Weed Man might be Dysfunction. Do you remember?
Yeah, he was also Dysfunction.
Okay, that's a deathmatch guy, yeah.
Holy so wow.
That's...
Sounds like a crazy good show.
We could book Young Altar Boy 1 and 4 right now.
Yeah, you're right. We could just run that.
That's crazy.
We got a couple more things here. James, you'll like this one. Jarrett was also unhappy with AJ Styles, CM Punk, and Christopher Daniels for all three coming out publicly supporting the ROH promotion. There's a lot of jealousy right now because TNA is pushing its product to hard on the internet, and its audience is probably heavy internet skewed. Ironically, its live audience consists of people, according to those who are in the stands, who never visit wrestling websites. But ROH gets so much praise while TNA is largely ignored or criticized. TNA has yet to order its talent to not appear, but when everyone signed contracts, I figured there would come a day when ROH using TNA contract guys was going to come to a head. So a lot of anti-ROH heat right now. Because
Of course.
They're not, of course.
There's a lot. And it gets worse. But
it does.
Punk talked about that too, where it was like, you know, they came to all the ROH guys and they're like, look, you guys can't work these ROH dates anymore. Yeah. Like if you work for us, like you're just not going to work these ROH dates.
Did they do this like Aries too and Roderick?
It was to everyone that was working the card at the time.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah,
you know, the ROH guys all got together at the time, and they were like, all right, look, you know, fuck TNA. We're not doing TNA anymore. We're doing ROH. And then, like, Punk woke up the next day and came to the show or whatever, and, like, no one was there. And then everyone fucking decided to take the TNA deal, and then Punk was like one of the only guys left. So it was so Gabe had to kind of put, you know, that's why Punk got his like big run in ROH.
Because
a lot of those guys did want to take those TNA dates. So I could not, because Punk said Gabe was never Gabe, like, it obviously that changed when Punk got crazy, but
yeah,
Gabe never, he said he didn't think Gabe saw him as like the big star.
He was just booking him as and bullshit around that time. There, I mean, you know, they were doing the Saints and all, but nothing like priority.
Due to him having to push Punk, Punk stepped up, and that's how his career changed forever.
It's crazy, man.
Nuts. TNA kind of pushed Punk to that level, which is crazy.
That's weird to think
fucking,
of.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Last thing here, Teddy Hart at the recent shows was collecting guys' phone numbers, claiming that Brett and him would be starting an indie promotion in Calgary. When Brett found out, he posted on his website, a member of the Hart family has been telling wrestlers and others that Brett is starting a territory in the immediate future. There is no truth to this. We wanted to let you know, because when it doesn't happen, it would look like Brett is the one who changed it up on everybody, when there is no truth to it whatsoever in the first place.
Wow.
Teddy Hart. That's awesome. Stay in Teddy Hart. He probably moonsaulted off a cage.
Yeah, probably.
Without telling anybody. So there you go. That was going on in the world of wrestling around the time of this draft lottery. So everybody's fighting, and everybody hates everybody, and everyone's angry.
That's fantastic. I want the Wild West days of pro wrestling, man.
It was just 2004 doesn't feel like it would be Wild West times.
No, but there's a lot of shit.
Everyone's going,
going
crazy.
Now take the drugs, the money, the sex,
we need to get
the sex,
the sex.
Oh, before I get into this, can I just tell you the dark match? Because I thought it was kind of funny. There's a dark match to this show.
Oh, sure. Is it Takeshi Morishima? I always just assume it's Takeshi Morishima.
Travis Tomko defeated Lenny Lane in a dark
match.
That's the name I don't hear. I thought Lenny Lane.
They saw more in Tomko than they saw in Lenny Lane. Well, they were right.
All right. So we start with the cold open here.
Yes.
The Raw and SmackDown locker rooms are hanging out backstage as the draft lottery is live tonight.
This is awesome. They do the bumper at the top with the Eric Bischoff face at the end, which is iconic.
And they turn up the crowd noise, too. It goes,
it's awesome. I love this locker room split here, James. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, the presentation here is really, really cool.
Everyone on the Raw side is wearing Raw shirts, and they're also all in their gear as well. So, like, Hurricane and Rosie are in the front wearing Raw shirts and their whole gimmick. Then we go to the SmackDown side. Everyone is not only in SmackDown shirts, but SmackDown hats.
they were branded out of their minds.
Kurt Angle's wearing his backwards. Rey and Ultimo Dragon are wearing them on top of their masks.
That was awesome.
It's fucking sick.
Bischoff and Heyman are backstage staring at each other. Heyman has a neck brace on because Undertaker tombstoned him on SmackDown last week.
Jim's not exaggerating. It's just a shot of them staring at each other.
Vince McMahon walks up and he says, tonight is the first draft lottery. He has to explain the rules for some reason.
I was confused when I heard draft lottery. After, like, is this the first draft? No, we already watched the first draft.
Yes, it's
what
the
is
lottery.
What is a draft lottery? I'm confused.
Shake things up. By God, we're going to do it. There's going to be how he describes it is very interesting. I don't think maybe the word tumbler doesn't exist yet. There's going to be a bin of SmackDown
stars.
Did he
say bin?
Bin. And you get to choose Bischoff and Heyman. You get to choose from the Raw roster bin. And there'll be 12 picks altogether. And you can trade anyone you wish as long as you do so by 12 midnight tonight. The show ends at 11, so I don't know why they did that.
You know, go to WWF.com.
Yeah, the supplemental draft they used to do afterwards.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. You're right.
I also don't know. They didn't really trade anything.
Well, I think there is a trade, and that's why a big name ends up back on Raw.
There's a trade, but also, can you only trade people that were drafted, or can you trade other people? They didn't really go into that.
Oh, you know what? I think it's anyone, because I'm jumping ahead, but I think the Dudleys get traded for Triple H.
The Dudleys get traded to TNA.
You're also correct.
Sorry about that.
Bischoff says, my champions are exempt, right? And Vince said, "No way, Bucko." Heyman and Bischoff try to shake hands with Vince as he leaves, and he just fucking big leaves him.
He said, "Fuck off." Yeah, no one is exempt on either roster. Everyone is a part of that. No one. No one. All of you are in the bin. You're in the bin.
I don't care if you're here or you're not. Randy Orton's throat is fucked up. Tonsillitis.
You are working.
Now take the drugs, the sex, the money, the generation of drugs. Let's get it on, sex.
Play that fucking music.
Is this like very early version of this? Because this intro video has a lot of clips that I don't recognize.
Yeah, I needed more Stacy Keibler.
One of them is just Maven doing a dropkick.
That's his move, baby. There
yeah,
he is.
I know
there,
that.
There he is. That's what I think of, the dropkick. And there's Maven doing a dropkick again.
Yeah. He's got that. He's got that down. His finisher in the games wasn't even a dropkick. It was DDT.
That's crazy. There's a no way we are not making a dropkick a finish in this game.
We can't even, we don't have the technology to make a shitty move like that a finisher. We can't do it. Sorry, bro.
So they have everybody here, JR, King, Taz, Cole, the whole commentary team. They have their own Raw and SmackDown name cards, two pedestals, gold bins.
Dude, it's there's a guy behind Cole and Taz with a small blinged out WWE title on a necklace. And he keeps showing it off. It's awesome.
This presentation is very tight. Like, everything is very well branded. Like, SmackDown has this very own unique thing. Raw is very unique. The way that they
like
present the guys. Very stark contrast. I know, like, obviously, SmackDown's blue, Raw's red, but full red shirts, full blue shirts. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to see.
Like,
yeah,
SmackDown
here.
Guys come out to the SmackDown with the SmackDown like nameplate. These SmackDown commentators for their matches or whatever. Yeah, it's
very
cool. Fucking
cool.
Yeah.
We have the draft lottery town hall.
Of course, Bischoff comes out to his, you know, I'm back. And Heyman comes out to his infamous theme. Well, you let us know how it sounds, James.
So what the hell is this?
I don't know. Like, I feel like he does use that for a minute, but it's so unrecognizable.
What the fuck is going on, man? Oh, he should have came out to the SmackDown theme. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So Heyman says he was assaulted by Undertaker on Sunday, Thursday night SmackDown.
this past Thursday. Let me try that one
more time.
Paul Heyman keeps saying that this is Paul Heyman SmackDown, which
that is cool.
It's very. I know that. Like Paul Heyman's, that was not written down. Like,
I was gonna say they definitely didn't. Like Vince didn't say you have to call this Paul Heyman SmackDown. He probably hated that. Actually,
yeah, that's probably why he later said, "You know what? Actually, you're drafted and you're fired and get out of here."
You go down to fucking Louisville. You get out of here.
He also started everything with, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman."
Some things never change, I guess.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
He also said he'll deal with Undertaker in his own personal way, which eventually that means he's going to kill Paul Bearer.
He'll be back. Paul Heyman rolls the gotcha machine and he pulls his ball out. It is literally gotcha balls that you open up and it has paper in it.
It's like the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And Heyman says,
one
of the premier groups on Raw. I was like, oh, damn. Okay. That's Evolution.
I was like,
because
they zoom in on Evolution. So I was like, okay, it's not Evolution, but it's like, it's the first one. You know, you're going to like, you know, you want people to stay tuned in. Like, this is going to be rocking. Like, oh, I wonder who's a big tag team? Like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't even know. I had no Evolution.
I was
probably
thinking NWO or something. NWO round at this time. I don't even know.
I think they're gone.
Thinking off the top of my head. Yeah, but I was like, maybe.
Now, the NWO this time was Chavo Guerrero. super crazy.
It was just Xbox.
You're right.
There's that whole Big Show. You know, the NWO is
not
at
this
point.
Shawn Michaels was around.
The NWO, Flair, Big Show, and Xbox.
What the hell?
Fuck.
Well, one of the premier groups on Raw is being broken up right now due to this ball.
Yes.
Dot, 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 dot.
And it is
Rene Dupree is the first fucking draft. I could not believe this.
You can feel the air being sucked out of the venue.
Why didn't you start with like Chris Benoit or Triple H or something?
Anybody else? I mean, unless I thought Rene Dupree was cool, but like, What? Michael Cole says, that's a great start for SmackDown.
He's trying to sabotage SmackDown. He said, I'm trying to go to Raw. I've had it with Taz.
So they show backstage Sylvain and Rob Conway look concerned. Everyone is, for some reason, looking offended that Rene Dupri is going to SmackDown, as if it was his choice, and if they gave a fuck that Rene Dupri was going to SmackDown.
So Rene Dupri, I actually wrote down here, they have got to be fucking insane to do this thing first. They share like an ESPN breakdown of Rene Dupri's career.
Okay, I do like that they did those for everybody, though.
They are. I like this a lot. The presentation was very, very cool here. They obviously were taking time and trying to make this seem like it's, you know.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, they just, I don't know how many more of these they do, but eventually it goes away, like, forever until, like, they go to Fox or whatever.
Well, you know how the splits always go. They always just give up on them.
Yeah, you're right. He had his first match at the age of 14.
Yeah, he was only 20 years old here.
He probably faced Pogo the Clown.
Yeah, he probably faced fucking...
Abdullah the Butcher.
Dysfunction in a 20-man elimination bat tag.
He was young altar boy, too.
Dupri still wrestles now.
He does. He's in Noah, right?
You're right. He is in Noah.
Yeah, he's crazy bastard.
With Simon Gotch and all of them over there. Right. Yeah. Noah's group of guys, like foreigners they have right now, is insanely fucking, like, it's just the craziest roster I've
RVD.
Ever heard.
What the fuck? Did you see the $300,000 bounty Noah has right now?
They're begging for somebody to watch this show.
There's a bounty. You, the Dipper, could fulfill this bounty. Noah has a bounty. This is current day, not 2004. This is 2022. Noah has a bounty going for $300,000 where if you can help them break into the American market to get more people to sign up for Wrestle Universe, they will give you $300,000.
If you help Noah break into the American Stock Exchange.
What the hell does that mean?
Help fraud the government.
Yeah, we'll give you $300,000. You get more people watching DPW.
Pro Wrestling Noah is begging somebody to show them what cryptocurrency is. $300,000 to anyone who could tell them the next coin.
Dude, you could clearly just say, nah, you didn't give us enough fans. Sorry, we can't pay you.
Yeah, like, how do you even decide that? I don't even know what you would come up with. Yeah, just book. I don't know.
They've already exasperated everything I would have said. I would have been like, get super crazy in RVD. That's
all I got. What more can you ask for?
I don't know. Y'all are fun with the bag.
I'm about to send an email. Yo, this fucking young altar boy number 4 is going to be on TV real soon. So you got to. He might be facing the cowboy guy in the AEW.
<You're right.
laughs>
So commentary then starts talking as Dupri comes out here. Dupri comes out, takes a picture with Paul Heyman on the stage. Very funny. I'm sure that picture is somewhere in the archives or something.
I feel like that camera didn't work, actually.
It was just flash. There's no nothing.
Yeah. Gimmick camera.
Commentary as Dupri is the number one pick walking down the ramp. First guy you see, and commentary goes, you know how cool it would be if, like, a star was picked, like HBK or Benoit or RVD?
No, don't say that.
Dude, they immediately start. Whoa, what other superstars can come to SmackDown? Stone Cold?
No, they didn't. Future Rene Dupri. He's the future.
He's the future of the business.
No. What about Shawn Michaels? No fucking way, man.
RVD? Come on, guys.
Stone Cold, RVD, Shawn Michaels?
Rene Dupri, Stone Cold, and Shawn Michaels. All the stars are here.
That's for our Wrestling Noah next year.
This whole draft is all the stars are here.
It's literally just that meme in general.
Doesn't Rene Dupri get Fifi when he goes to SmackDown? I mean, the star.
Fifi is coming.
All the stars are here.
Sky's the limit for Rene Dupri, I'll tell you what.
It's like Rene Dupree, like it's actually crazy because Rene Dupree, it wasn't even bad at this point.
No, he's still
not bad, but they jabronied him so bad.
They hated this young piece of shit French bastard.
Well, yeah,
the segment following,
Rene Dupree comes out here and cuts the craziest, like, word to word little promo I've ever heard in my life. Rene Dupree grabs the mic and goes, "I will die in hell before the last memory of me on Raw is Steve Austin giving me the stunner."
He legit says, I will die in hell.
Hey, why are you going to hell, man? What do you do?
I will die in hell is the craziest shit I've ever heard.
You think they told? Yeah, you got there and you said, "I'd rather die in hell."
No way. I bet they said, you need to say something that's like, "Oh man, I really want to be out here, but I don't, you know, I don't want my last thing to be Steve Aussie said." What did they tell me to say? I will die in hell.
He says, he demands one final match here in Detroit, Michigan. And Bischoff and Heyman look at him and say, "Yeah, all right, go on." And then they just leave. And then Rene says, "I'm challenging any of the Raw jabronis in the locker room to face the French renom, Rene Dupree." Just fucking crazy-ass name pronunciation.
He should have kept that forever. Rene Dupree's finish should have been called Die in Hell.
Die in Hell? He should adopt that now in Noah.
Die in Hell?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I was like, I switched so hard. He said, "I would die in hell before I fucking lose this match."
Yeah, that's
and
number
I was like,
pick.
"That's my guy! That's my number one pick!"
Then he's on Paul Heyman SmackDown for a reason.
Yeah, he's a good pick here.
I like it.
Open challenge to the back, and out comes Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho is pissed because he got cucked by Christian and Trish. I don't know if the word cuck was existing in 2004 yet, or else they would have said it 100 times on commentary. Jericho is very oily. He's wearing red and pink gear. He got betrayed at WrestleMania, and he is going to beat Rene Dupree's ass. So much so that he's going to beat him with an enziguri.
Holy shit.
What the fuck?
Dude, Jericho beats with an enziguri and Dupree like throws a shoulder up at 3.1.
What the fuck?
Hey! Chris Jericho will never forget March 14th. JR, these very specific dates, it always sounds like it is the darkest day in the history.
You're right. He will never forget that day ever.
March 14th. What the?
Rene does the French tickler. Lawler calls it a funny little French dance.
Fuck you, 20-year-old bastard.
You are fucking... You should die now. You're right. You should do that.
When Taz used to do the thing, you would...
I'm a French man. I do a French thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish he would have just butted in here. Hey, he's on our show now. French man. Rene... So there's a little bit of miscommunication at some point here. Rene gets hung up on the second rope, and Jericho's going to do the running crotch to the back of his head. But Rene just gets off the rope. Jericho has to pick him up, punch him in the head, and put him back in position. He hits it.
Of course.
And then enziguris Rene. 1, 2, 3.
Fuck you, man.
What an exciting way to start off the draft.
They beat the number one draft kick by enziguri.
Not even the walls.
Jericho, I will say this much. Jericho's look here was great. I love the velour tights with the this looked really cool here. But he beats him and then just leaves.
Yeah, uncomfortably leaves. He keeps looking back at Rene and he doesn't walk up the ramp either. He goes off the side.
Shitty fucking match. You kept looking at this shitty fucking match.
It's a geary bastard.
Blew this shit.
The first 20-year-old, I'm kick. Shitting. I'm running it back right now to shit in your bag.
Good luck in Noah. So Dupree,
no chance.
Dupree gets back up. He doesn't even sell the enziguri. It screams in the mic that he demands respect.
I am not going to be cheated like this. Oh, here it goes.
Oh, shit. Sheriff Austin's here with ATV. Let's go.
Stone Cold is a crazy son of a bitch, man. He drives out on the ATV, swings around the corners of the ring, smashes into the announce table, circles
Holy
back around,
shit.
Drives by the announce table again, laughs at them. And then he gets in the ring. He goes to shake Rene Dupree's hand. Rene Dupree, of course, takes it because he's a 20-year-old piece of shit.
Yeah,
takes a stunner,
true.
And Stone Cold drinks beers.
That's awesome.
That is this is the number one career ever.
He got paid so much more than Rene Dupree.
so much more. Steve Austin was just having a good time, man. This is so sick. That's it for Monday Night
people.
Raw, everybody. What else?
What'd you say,
he
Tony?
Got free unlimited beer for the rest of his career for
that's
no reason. Yeah, that's my
crazy.
Gimmick. I drink beer. I need free beer.
It's crazy, Tony, because he was just he didn't even ask for the high grade season. I was like Bush Light and Coors and like that's
yeah,
like $7.
You know,
that's awesome.
We had the draft lottery town hall again as we come back from commercial.
But not before Rico and Jackie Gaeta are in the ring during their entrance. They're not a part of the draft. They're just
not
the
a part of the draft, and they're also in the ring. And anyways, Eric Bischoff.
Don't worry about them.
Why are they there?
I don't know. That was very strange.
Eric Bischoff says, you don't need to worry about calling them the world's greatest tag team anymore.
Oh, no. Evolution's breaking up.
No, first he says, if SmackDown's a better show, then why did McMahon choose to do this on Raw? Huh?
I mean, that's a fair question.
So they break up the world's greatest tag team.
Yes.
Obviously, they had plans here because yeah. Shelton Benjamin is coming to Raw.
And which, I mean, that works out for him at the beginning. Because this is around, like, probably, is that 05? That might be a little bit after?
I'm not sure, actually.
But he does get a pin over Triple H, doesn't he?
He does. That match was crazy.
Yeah, he does.
He did the T-bone suplex and beat him. Holy shit, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was, like, cool. That was that's a good reason to switch somebody to a show if you're going to do something
like
that.
Sure,
yeah, exactly.
If you have plans for him, sure.
Yeah. Rene Dupree?
Rico and Jackie Gaeta are still in the ring.
Yes, they are.
Shelton Benjamin's career highlights in WWE. One of them is University of Minnesota.
They show Shelton and Haas in the back. They're not happy. Behind them, also unhappy in SmackDown hat, is referee Mike Chioda.
Oh, man. I like reffing you guys.
I love calling your matches, guys.
Kane's pyro goes off.
Yeah, well, they're waiting for Shelton to come out to accept his Raw hat and shirt. But pyro goes off. Here comes fucking Kane. What happened to Shelton? Did he die? We set Shelton on fire? Why is no one concerned about the whereabouts of Shelton Benjamin here? Kane is here for a match.
Kane versus Rico with Jackie Gaeta is up next. Shelton didn't come out quick enough, so now we have to get out here to do this match.
Rico is throwing kicks at Kane, and Kane is selling them,
dude,
shockingly.
Dude, this is what happened. Kane hits the ring. Rico is giving Kane shots, and Rico is confused on why Kane is not cutting him off. So he's stopping
him. Throwing them.
He throws, kicks, throws, looks at him, gives him an opening. Okay, throws, kicks, throws, looks at him again, waits for an opening. Kane, he keeps hitting, waiting for Kane to cut him off. Kane does it. Then Kane fucking choke slams him. Kane went out here and made Rico look as bad as humanly possible and beat him in 20 seconds.
And then he just flips backwards over the ropes, looks real cool, and leaves. That's
he
awesome.
Never even pans back over to Rico or Jackie Gaeta. Fuck y'all, man.
We also never hear about Shelton Benjamin for the rest of the day.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
What the fuck happened?
What's Shelton doing?
Kane gets to the top of the ramp here.
Listen.
He calls over Heyman and Bischoff. He needs double mics. I'm going to let you know. If double mics happened at an indie show, I think the arena would explode.
Holy
There's no. Yeah, you're right.
Those mics so close.
Speaking of mics, did you notice like some mic issues during this? Was it the mics were fucked up, or did Heyman keep hitting the mic with his neck brace?
Oh, I don't know.
I kept noticing like random like mic twitches. It was very annoying.
It must have been Heyman messing with the mic on his thing.
He was doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Paul Heyman's fucking show. Kane grabs both and says, "You two listen close." He's very breathy here. "It doesn't matter where I end up, but I better not be on the same show as Rene Dupree."
I'm a French man, and I'm doing French tickler.
I don't want to see it. No, he's talking about The Undertaker, of course. He doesn't want to be the same show as The Undertaker. And Kane does the pyro and then leaves. He does the pyro. It shows the ring. Rico and Jackie Gator are nowhere to be found.
What happened to him? Where'd they go?
I don't know. With Shelton.
Yeah, they're with Shelton. Paul Heyman then draws a name, and he smiles, and he looks down, and he looks there and goes, "Oops." It looks like they're breaking up another tag team.
Another super group, he says.
Holy shit, man.
Here, all right, so it's Pan and it's Evolution. Evolution.
It's got to be Evolution, right? There, Tony, Evolution.
This could be worse than the first one. And you know what? Could be is wrong. This is worse than the first one because I am in the trenches. I have very little to no memory of this being a team.
Yo, one second. Okada on AEW! Yeah!
The Rainmaker! He looks just like me. It's fucking crazy.
Holy shit.
What'd he do?
That's awesome. He just came out. I'm not too sure what happened so far.
Oh, he was going to Rainmaker Jay White, it looks like.
Yeah, he came out here. He's with Hangman Page and Jay White.
It's going to be a four-way then, huh?
Oh, my God. How about Okada wins over all your big guys?
Okada versus Tanahashi for the AEW title.
They do like a tag match or something.
Wow. They did. I guess they had entrance, right? Like coin drop and all?
Yeah, they did the coin drop and everything.
Oh, that's so sweet. Sick. Wow, that's cool as fuck.
That is awesome.
Okada said, "You are pregnant. What are you going to do? I'll see you."
Okada said, what's the dollar signs looking like on that? Okay, I guess I'll come over.
Noah is kicking itself. Damn, what do we do?
Yeah, how do we do this? Somebody RPG. Get Mark Jindrak.
Oh, yeah, so, right, back to the show. Mark Jindrak is the member that is going to SmackDown breaking up the supergroup of... Listener, think about it. Who would Mark Jindrak be teaming up with that they're breaking up here?
Triple H, Batista, and Ric Flair. And you, right?
Almost, Tony. James, you want to take a shot at that?
I think it's got to be Charlie Haas and Mark Jindrak.
Super group.
You guessed it. Garrison Cade. Super group. What the fuck?
Bro, this lottery is... They say crazy.
Did you already mention that JR will no longer be able to point to the superstar and call him Blue Chipper?
Oh, yes. That's right. Heyman did say. Unfortunately, JR will not be called a chipper. Now there goes a Blue Chipper because SmackDown welcomes Mark Jindrak. And Mark Jindrak's accomplishments in WWE are he was a WCW tag champion.
That was weird. His only highlight, WCW tag champion.
I also don't remember the theme song he used. Very strange.
Oh, man. This is... I can't believe the all-star team of Mark Jindrak and...
Garrison Cade, of course.
Garrison Cade. Have been broken up.
Well, so devastating.
Draft lottery returns after commercial.
Raw, whatever.
Eric Bischoff now has his specs on.
He says Raw is the home of good-looking people, and the next pick is really going to bring it home. Raw picks Nydia. So they show Nydia? Didn't recognize her. She like her hair looked totally different. It was crazy.
Yeah, she looked way different. Yeah, this is post awesome. Jamie Noble, my bad.
Yeah, Eric Bischoff. That's right.
Yes,
Jamie Noble is also coming with Nia.
Sorry, he's in ROH right now. Actually, so no, he's not.
The champ. So Nidia's accomplishments were, of course, she won Tough Enough, and her accomplishments are also. Her measurements of 38, 24, and 36.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Of course, Nydia is excited to go for the women's title.
That's what she says.
She's also excited to take her shirt off with her bra out.
She takes her shirt off because she wants to put on the Raw shirt, of course. And JR says, I think she's going to leave her mark here right on Raw. Nydia is released in November.
Well, Paul Heyman says, yeah. I hope you go blind
again. Sorry about that.
I hope you go blind again.
I hope you go blind again. Bitch. He does say that. John Cena's music hits.
Do, 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 do.
And Taz says, the doctor.
What does Michael Cole say, though?
What does he say?
Oh, my.
Oh, he does say that. Sorry, I think I have like an oh, my blocker in my head.
I was like, he was doing oh, my here, too?
That's crazy. I don't remember that.
Yo, Cena.
Cena is crazy here.
Listen.
Blue jersey, U.S. title, the thickest chain with fucking padlock ever.
Yeah, this was this when I was young. I thought this is that dude right here.
This was the guy. Yeah,
yeah.
This, oh man. Cena says the franchise crashing this party. Paul, don't get hot at me. He's wearing a neck brace because he's blowing the whole lottery. You see, because he's saying he sucks at penises, Tony.
Yeah, of course.
He says, I'm a lottery pick. They both want to get their hands on. This ain't no junior high dance, so fellas, keep your pants on. He said, because they would want to fuck him, Tony.
Paul Heyman, you suck penis.
You want to fuck
penis
me?
Penis sucker.
You want to fuck me, Paul? You look like you want to have sex with me. And if you draft me, save your t-shirts. I ain't kissing your butts. That's what he says, butts. We are in the D, baby, so you can choke on D's nuts. And he throws a pack of nuts at Paul Heyman, who slaps
D's
away.
D's nuts back in 2004? Yeah, holy shit.
I remember D's nuts when jokes when I was going to school. I don't know how it resurged in like 2020, but.
Yeah, you're right.
Paul Heyman smacked.
He smacked his nuts.
You mentioned he smacks him away.
Smacks
he throws them at Heyman, and Heyman was able to smack it out of the air.
That was
get out of here.
With a broken freaking neck.
That's pretty crazy.
Cena says, you the general manager, but I'm making the next pick. And Cena just reaches into the tumbler and takes out a ball. And he says, I'm giving you one ball, but you still got no
dick.
Yes, dick. Paul Heyman has one ball and no cock. What the fuck happened
there? That's it could have been anything, actually. It could have been like pews.
Yeah, I guess maybe the fan. The Detroit is they need to get it together there, mate. It could have been anything.
So.
But if Paul Heyman does have one ball and no dick, that is crazy.
That's ECW style.
Giant Gonzalez style.
Paul Heyman says, that is not my pick. And Bischoff says, yes, it is, you bitch. Now open it now.
Why is that allowed? Heyman just says, oh, all right. Why does Heyman just agree? What the fuck?
I am not entirely sure.
Well, Heyman is happy about it in the end of this, of course.
Well, he shouldn't be. But Paul draws Triple H.
He says, Bischoff, you sure you want me to take this pick? And he says, you own it. You wrote it down. You
wrote it and I read it. I'm reading it.
And Triple H is going to SmackDown. He spits water all over the locker room. Flair and Batista are pissed. Kane is laughing in the back. We come back from the commercial. Locker room is chanting, na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na. Hey, goodbye. Triple H throws his water bottle at them. Teddy Long puts on his thinking face as he leaves. I don't know why he did that.
I am thinking.
Thinking emoji. Evil thinking.
This is like the famous Triple H spit take, though. This is pretty cool to see this in real time as it's happening.
Yeah. That's cool.
Kane isn't laughing in the back like a little freak.
That's how he laughs.
Yeah. Christian versus Spike Dudley up next.
I actually thought this match was fun as hell.
Yeah, I mean, they're both really good.
They are real good.
Christian's with Trish Stratus.
Do they explain? Maybe I missed it. Because last Monday, Trish hit... Christian jumped Spike on the ramp before his match, and then Trish hit him with a chick kick, and Christian with the unprettier on the floor. Why?
Look, man, I don't really care about that. What I care about here is Christian. What is Christian wearing at this moment?
That long sleeve? Holy fuck.
This dude had belt boot cuts, mustard and ketchup long sleeve tee. That like was a schmedium.
It looked like an antique shop rug.
He is wearing a rugged wear watch. This is not like a nice watch. This is a I'm going to go hiking watch.
This is
the craziest fit I've ever seen. And he beats
awesome.
Spike Dudley's ass.
He whoops his ass. I don't know why he jumped him, but he did. So Spike rushes
fuck
down.
You, Spike Dudley.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I was watching. You know, speaking of Rene Dupree, by the way, you know he has a podcast, and he like it's actually good because he just lets people. He just called, has them come on, and he's like very close to the camera, so you can see half of Rene's face, and he just lets them talk about.
Yeah,
all
that's
the
awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking great. I think he said Spike Dudley is a stooge. I think that's what he said.
That's awesome.
Rene Dupree's like one of my favorite pro wrestling Noah guys.
I love him and RVD there. So Spike rushes down in the ring. He hits him with a Spike Dudley headbutt
super
from the video.
Crazy.
Hell yeah. Crazy for that.
Hell yeah, Tony. He got a two count off the SVR Spike
WB
Dudley
games,
headbutt.
Yeah. SVR headbutt. Let's go.
A two count is crazy off that move, by the way.
Two count off the headbutt. He's got to put the online scene over, bro.
I hated playing online. Fuck, dude.
I definitely put that in all my guys' movesets.
9 foot tall, big ass cock, 100 overall demon CAW, and he's got the fucking Spike Dudley headbutt. Fuck no. You, man.
And his name was XXDX Satan.
And just so I put it in the time frame, too, there were no video game patches at the time. You couldn't patch this out of the game.
You
it
had to fight
for
it. Wouldn't matter. Like, it wouldn't matter. Like, they would patch the game.
But I'm saying they could have.
You're
but
right.
They,
no way.
It wasn't possible at the time.
You watch the Scooby-Doo movie, Tony. You see what the damn game fucking studio
patch
does.
Patch the game. Patch the game.
Well, I don't know. I should check out the
fix.
I should check out the Scooby-Doo thing on Patreon soon.
You should check it on Patreon. No pressure was great.
Patreon.com/deadlikeww.
No pressure was good.
It was good. You should go check it out. DVW on demand.
That's what they're saying. So, yeah, Spike gets a two off the Spike Dudley. Christian's in the deadlock gear, by the way. Shouts out.
I like this gear for Christian.
The orange, yeah, I love that shit.
I think it looks kind of cool. I mean, he's got like the three. I always thought like the whole three-piece gear is kind of crazy. Like wearing the tights like underneath the, or like
the
over
trunks.
The trunks over the tights.
Yeah, yeah.
Is
that
crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a cool look.
Christian goes to scoop slam Spike. Spike turns it into a DDT. That looked cool for a two count. Christian goes for a suplex. Spike turns it into a roll-up for two. He's just like transitioning into pins over and over again. I thought that was fucking pretty sweet. Spike double stomps the shit out of Christian. Another Spike Dudley video game classic that I spammed.
Hell yeah.
The top rope double stomp. Yeah. Christian throws Spike in the ring post and then hits him with the unprettier for the win.
The Spike Dudley one was cheese because he landed on his feet. If you do the double foot stomp and you go to your knees,
you're right. Yeah, yeah.
But he goes to his feet, so you can just go straight back to other moves. It's fucked up.
You can go right back up and do another one.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Spike Dudley was a stooge.
You could have bashed that, brother.
Jerry Lawler on commentary is jerking off to the idea of Christian and Trish making out. JR says, "How could a woman like that want her hair pulled?"
What the?
And then King goes, "I'll explain to you after the show."
So we go to a draft lottery town hall again.
Yes.
Bischoff is not fucking happy that Triple H is not on his show anymore.
No.
This isn't fair. This isn't fair.
It's not fair. I got to find Mr. McMahon. So he runs backstage.
He does.
He just runs away.
He runs to the interview spot like he's playing one of the video games and goes,
"You're right.
Oh, well, I'll be goddamn, there he is." Hey.
It's like when you play Just Bring It and you can run around backstage in first person. Or I guess Shut Your Mouth had that too. And you just, there's just people standing there and you just walk up to them.
Yeah,
my brother.
Vince is chilling and they have a conversation about Triple H switching off shows here.
Yeah, Bischoff says, "Heyman didn't make the pick. Cena made the pick. This isn't fair." And Vince says, it is what it is, bro.
he says, once the pick has been chosen, it's official. Like, he could, it's out of my hands, man.
Nothing
like,
I can do.
I could not do anything. I don't run this fucking company at all.
I didn't make these rules. Nothing I could do. And Heyman walks in, "Excuse me, I have an idea. Tonight, the WWE title gets defended by Eddie Guerrero. Eddie defends the WWE title against SmackDown's newest acquisition, Triple H." And Bishop says, you can't do that. This is my show, bro. And Vince says, yeah, bro, you out of your mind? And Heyman says, well, I'm doing what you would do.
Yeah, bro, you out of your mind, bitch.
So Vince says, I got to look after both brands, you know. So this match, Eddie versus Triple H, it's going to happen tonight.
He says, it will, in fact, happen tonight.
It will, in fact, happen tonight. All right. And everyone's waiting for your next pick, so get on out there, please. So they just go back out.
So they'd go back to the stage. Yeah.
This whole thing is crazy. Like the Vince thing, because they announce a WWF title match tonight.
Yeah.
And it's just randomly made an hour into the show on guys that were just traded. On Raw and the SmackDown guys.
The draft isn't even over. Eddie might be on Raw after this.
Vince almost said WWF title also.
He would have fucking...
He said Eddie Guerrero versus Triple H for the WWF... we're going to have the match tonight.
He would have looked at Heyman and said, why'd you make me say that shit? And headbutt him.
You're going to OVW.
You're out of here, you bastard.
Now that you mention it, James, that is a crazy match to just do halfway through the show. Eddie and Triple H, like a huge fucking match.
That's like a money match on any... Dude, yeah.
That's like built to a pay-per-view match, yeah.
As far as cage match goes, it is the only time Triple H and Eddie Guerrero were ever in a match together in any capacity. Ever. No tags, no six-mans, nothing. Only time ever is this match
crazy.
Here.
I didn't know that. That's pretty insane, actually.
How is that? Eddie's been in the company since, what, 01? 2000?
And Triple H still...
He was on... Yeah, what the fuck?
Yo, I can't wait to get to that match.
No.
We go back to the stage. Bischoff ends up drafting Rhino.
Well, he says, I'm not going to be upstaged by Heyman. And whoever I draft next, I don't care if it's, he says this, I don't care if it's Big Show or if it's Michael Cole, whoever I pick is facing world champion Chris Benoit for the belt tonight. What the fuck? My next pick is a man who has tremendous amount of admiration for, and a man who can match the intensity of Benoit from the Motor City of Detroit.
He's on the world's greatest tag team. He is the blue chipper.
Rhino. They show he says from Detroit, and they show the shot of the backstage area. No one in the backstage also knows who's from Detroit. they didn't figure it out immediately. I also was confused. Rhino celebrates. He does the "You can't see me" taunt in front of Cena's face, and then leaves. They show his list of accomplishments. They don't list that he was the ECW TV champion, which I was tilted about, and I wrote down here.
He threw his shirt at Paul Heyman.
He threw his shirt.
Why do that shit?
And then took the Raw shirt and put it on. Yeah. Who's the fucking man?
WWF Rewind brought to you by WWE. Snicker Cruncher.
WWE.
What did you just say?
WWE.
WWF Rewind brought to you by Snicker Cruncher. Eat this or die.
Is that what it is?
No, I don't know what
it
was.
Okay, because I believe it.
Crunch these nuts.
Yeah, crunch this. Booker hits Bubba with a bookend to retain the tag
titles.
They showed
a TNA match for some reason on
with
this.
RVD.
I don't
know what this was. Dudley's against Main Event Mafia for some reason going
crazy.
On.
So Booker and RVD versus Flair and Batista for the WWF tag titles is up next.
We're going to go three segs here for this one.
Yeah, holy shit, man.
Dude, what is this RVD Booker theme song?
What the fuck? I do not remember this at all.
The Booker Man, y'all.
This is crazy.
It's the Booker Man.
It's the Booker Man, y'all.
Then it cuts and it goes, can you dig it?
Then it cuts to RVD, Booker T's original theme.
I don't know if I even remember this. This is crazy.
When I heard it's the Booker Man, y'all, one of a kind, I thought I was going fucking. I thought I had two streams open.
That's what I thought. I thought I watched like a YouTube video in the background or something. Yeah. It's the Booker Man, y'all. It's not like hate the player, hate the game or anything. No. It's just it's the Booker Man, y'all.
And I'm Rob.
This is crazy, man.
Yo, you gotta let me on this track.
R-V-D.
Dude, according to XYLOT, there's three versions of this theme song.
There's a what?
There's three different versions of this theme song.
Of this?
Yes, of this song.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, also... Also on the fucking match card before the match, it throws me off every time I see RVD without the wrist tape.
I know. I was like, what's wrong here? I was like, is it elbow pads? I was like, oh, it's wrist tape. Why?
Yeah,
fuck,
he wears
man.
Huge wrist tape. Yeah,
I know. Fucking crazy. Damn it. Well, Raw is also brought to you by Walking Tall. Ninja Gaiden on Xbox. Unleash your...
The Ninja original Gaiden. Ninja yes. Gaiden. That's wow. crazy.
Ninja Gaiden on Xbox. Unleash your inner ninja.
All right.
And YJ Stinger.
Fuck you.
Did you ever
die? And YJ Stinger. Fuck you.
YJ Stinger, go to hell and die.
We should buy ad time on shit.
Just, fuck you, man.
DPW. Fuck you.
That's what Tony Khan does on Twitter to advertise Rampage. I fucking hate Corn Nuts Rampage at 10. YJ Singer stalks Rampage at 10.
Yo, please look at this.
What? What the fuck is this? Dudes with attitudes.
What the hell?
What the fuck?
Holy. Sting, Darby Allin, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu. Dudes with attitudes.
That's so fucking sick. That's DPW'd out of their mind.
Holy shit, man. Wow, that's crazy.
That's fucking awesome. Who are they facing?
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, they're facing the Bullet Club.
Holy fuck.
Wait, let me see which part of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, there's a lot. That could be anybody.
Wait, Nick
that?
Jackson.
Oh.
Okay, no, it's the Young Bucks, Hikuleo, and Phantasma.
Okay,
or
sure.
Whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah, they're losing big time.
El Presador.
That's awesome.
I haven't heard that name in years.
El Presador will be at Forbidden Door.
Noah, we got it.
Put him in a wrestling ring, bro. You made a video with El Presador.
El Presador versus Mark Henry. That is a classic.
Dude, email Holy that to shit. Noah right now.
Holy shit. AEW just destroyed Noah's whole shit. Oh my God, bro. Dudes with attitudes? Come on, man. That's crazy.
So here comes Flair and Batista, this Goodbye Evolution sign with a strange head drawn on it for some reason in the crowd. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's about. Flair is wearing his black tights with the red RF logo on it, but wearing purple boots and knee pads, so he's checked out.
Fuck.
This match goes for fucking ever, man.
Yeah. No, it
and
does.
I feel like they were like lost a lot too. You know, they were like there was a lot of miscommunication. Like Flair would do something, and something would be mistimed. Flair would beg off, and Booker would go for something, and then like almost blow his ankles out, having to stop himself. There's a JR Bleeds Gravy sign in the crowd.
What the fuck,
RVD?
Man.
RVD. So Booker does he pulls Flair off the top. Flair dies. RVD tags in while on the top rope. I don't know if that's legal. I think they say that on commentary too.
If he has, did he have one? Was he on fully on the top rope or 1 foot on the apron?
1 foot on the second rope, 1 foot on the top rope.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't.
He might have been holding the tag rope though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know the rules on that. Referee's discretion on that.
Of course, he hits the 5-star on Flair, covers him, and then rolls out of the ring because Batista comes in to attack him. And Raw rolls on after this. What the fuck?
Okay.
What
well,
the
now
fuck
it's time for Raw Zone, baby.
What happened there? What the fuck happened? That was weird. Batista goes for the Batista bomb. Already hits a jumping back kick to try to break it up, but he kicks Booker T in the fucking head instead.
No.
And then gets shit canned out, and Batista hits the Batista bomb, and Batista and Flair are your new tag team champions.
Oh, wow.
Actually, kind of a cool finish there.
It was a very cool finish. And the match wasn't, like, dog shit. It was just long and awkward.
Yeah, just super long.
Yeah, I felt it was very long, yeah.
Batista looks crazy here,
he
man.
Does.
He is, seeping juice.
Yeah, big style.
Chicken breasts.
Yeah, he's two chicken breasts and one asparagus guy. Flair and Batista are the new tag champs on Raw.
Yes. And the super group is no longer a group anymore.
Yeah, we already talked about Mark Jindrak. Draft lottery town hall. Eric Bischoff picks
Mr. Thursday Night, Rob Van Dam.
Van Dam.
Oh, damn.
Michael Cole yells out, check out the stats. RVD just lost.
Is the GOAT. I don't make the rules, man. This is the greatest. This is like the dude right here.
I love RVD, man.
Yeah, he's the shit.
They go backstage. And
this is awesome, by the way, the backstage segment here.
It's cool because it's Booker T and RVD backstage. Booker's like, yeah, we're going to get the belts back. You know, we got that rematch clause. And he said, that was a little mistake. Don't worry about it, bro. You're cool. We'll go back. Which is cool because, you know, usually wrestling tropes are, oh, you fucking kicked me in the head and you definitely did it on purpose and I'm going to fucking kill you now.
Yeah.
But Booker's like,
yeah,
no, bro. That's cool, bro.
This is pretty compelling.
Yeah. They're like, okay, we'll just, you know, we get a rematch clause. We'll just fucking do it again. Coach walks in and says, nah, bump that. You get
no
rematch.
Dick eating is crazy. You are not getting a tag title match.
You just got drafted to SmackDown, you idiot. And RVD's, what, are you serious? Because what are you talking about, man? We're a team. Coach said, no, you're fucking out of here, man. See ya. And then leaves.
And leaves. RVD gives the pogo face.
You're right.
This is crazy. Yo.
That's a cool angle, though.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool too. I thought that Booker not being like, you know, shit happens sort of thing, you know, like
yeah,
whatever.
Fuck you, man. Why'd you kick me, man?
Obviously, he didn't mean to kick him in the head or anything.
Why'd you
know,
do that on purpose?
So then we get Chris Benoit versus Rhino up next
for the world title.
Drakengard is sponsoring WB Backlash.
Now, this is what I was waiting for, James. What the fuck is Drakengard?
I've heard of Drakengard. I never played Drakengard.
Tony, do you know what Drakengard is?
They've made a couple.
It's an RPG game, right? I don't know what it is.
No,
though.
It's a Japanese RPG game,
I think.
Oh, is it? Game,
okay. Yeah. And it's sponsoring the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think...
you said they made a couple of them.
Yeah, I know they made at least three.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me see here.
Yeah. Because I genuinely never heard of it. Deb immediately accused me of having played it because she thinks I'm just a fucking video game nerd to play every fucking game.
Yeah,
I didn't know what it was.
I think Drakengard has something to do with Nier, if you ever played...
I have not, but I know of that game. I know of Nier.
I think it's like a... I don't know too much about it, but
sure.
I know.
Yeah,
I think it's in the same
similar
line.
Oh, okay.
I think it's in the same line of games.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an alternative timeline set after a different ending of the first Drakengard game.
You know what? Okay. That sounds very exciting.
Nier Automata, by the way, is goated. If you guys have not played that shit, I went
you
Nier Automata
right
sponsored DPW because that shit is crazy.
I mean, I've been playing that all the time.
You don't know anything about it.
Oh, fuck you.
You never played it. You
yeah,
don't
well,
know
no,
about 2B
yeah,
and well, A2. You weren't
I'll,
there.
I'll fucking whoop
I was there.
I'll whoop your ass in Halo 2 anytime, Sean. You want
to
fucking...
If you
know,
really
want
to take this to
yeah,
the streets of Halo 3
yeah,
1-on-1, Xbox
Halo
360
2,
edition,
Halo 3
title
together,
update,
and that's 3.
I will spin your ass
one
in a
and two
circle.
Is three.
You talking to me,
one and two
Guardian,
is three.
BR only, rifles on map, sniper, no overshield, OS not there. I will slap it up.
Yeah, I got all that and then some.
Nier Automata is a good game.
All right, that's good. And Drakengard is a bad game.
DPW No Pressure was
good.
DPWOnDemand.com.
Some guy's walking by at the beginning of this match, just holding up a Austin middle finger foam figure, just walking by. I thought that was
great.
So sick. Rhino goes for a powerbomb out of the corner. Benoit hits him in the head, and Rhino alley-oops him into the buckle, which I think is an underrated move. I love me a good alley-oop.
Alley-oop? Oh,
I
love alley-oop.
You should do
especially
a big,
big
show video game style, James.
That was awesome.
Did you kind of say alley-oop?
I think so, because it's the same like direction. It's not because it was powerbomb into it was a hesitation, but I think yes. I think I would.
Yeah, it felt like more like Rhino just kind of threw him off his shoulders.
I didn't have any better way to type it with more words. So.
But yes, I agree. The alley-oop is awesome, and I thought this was a really fucking good cutoff, and I wrote this down in my move.
Good.
List.
Okay.
Yeah. That is a great cutoff.
Did Big Show ever do it video game style? You know what I'm talking about? Where he just, it's powerbomb, and he just goes backwards, and it's like catapulting you. Alley-oop.
Oh, like tosses. I don't
yeah,
think so.
Like
you, it, most of from, them, they hold on to the they hold on to the legs as they come down.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
Crazy. I don't know if yeah. I've ever, if someone can send me a clip of Big Show actually doing the alley-oop from the video games in real life, I would love to see it. Rhino puts Benoit in the sharpshooter. JR, I swear, said, "What the hell is this?"
He did. He didn't know what this was.
He had no idea what the fuck Rhino was going for, which, what the fuck? Rhino, which I guess was weird because I don't know how often I've seen Rhino do a submission. So it
this was
little,
awesome. Rhino gets a sharpshooter. Benoit actually sells the sharpshooter for like a good 30 seconds. It was actually a pretty good move.
I was like, oh, fuck. Are they like, is Rhino debuting like a move here? What is going on here?
And then Benoit ends up selling it until he can figure out enough to leverage himself to the rope.
Yes.
This is sweet. This match is good.
Benoit takes Rhino down to go for a sharpshooter, but Rhino gets the rope. So he's both kind of just doing a lot of fucking back and forth work here. Rhino goes for the gore. Benoit moves. Rhino bumps the fucking buckle, turns around, crossface, and Rhino taps out. Benoit retains the world title shockingly here in a match that was just booked 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, Benoit gives Rhino the three Germans here, and he was so nice on these.
But it still looks fucking sweet, though.
No, it's, you're great. That's probably why like people are cool with it, you know. Like Kurt was way more vicious with his. Benoit was like Benoit was good at giving you your bump, and I thought this was cool. Diving headbutt looked great. The he
Rhino
tried to go
big, by the way.
He is like, he's not as big as he was in TNA. He gets bigger, actually.
He does get bigger. It fucking boggles my mind how Rhino, like, how many titles did Rhino have in WWE? I feel like it wasn't many.
No, I don't think so.
Or how many world title shots he actually got. Hardcore, of course, everyone fucking. He had the WCW US title in WWE. I don't remember that. And he was SmackDown Tag Champion with Heath Slater.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time
ago. He was never Intercontinental champ?
He had that Intercontinental match with Kane that one time. That was pretty good.
That was a good one. You're right. That was pretty cool. Rhino's awesome.
WWE cared about work rate at all. Like, I feel like Benoit probably could have been champion for a while. Like, obviously this match was kind of just put together, and like they were able to come up with some pretty unique shit to kind of play this one out. So that was kind of cool.
That's true.
I think Benoit only holds the title till SummerSlam.
That's when he drops it to Orton, right?
Yeah,
he does. Yeah.
We go backstage. Shawn Michaels comes up to Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff.
The creepiest smile I've ever seen. This is a weird bastard.
It's awkward.
It is, because they also have it like separate. From like they're at the interview segment. They're like at the backstage interview spot.
He's watching the monitor.
But yeah, so they're like off to the side, so you can see the light boxes on the everything.
Yeah,
and
Air
conditions kicking fucking hard on this one. Going crazy.
So Sean walks up and he pats Bischoff on the shoulder, and Bischoff turns around and he says, "Looks like the world title is safely intact around the waist of Chris Benoit. You know, as much as I want a shot at Benoit." Note that, by the way. As much as I want a shot at Benoit, this thing with Triple H and myself is far from over. And now that Triple H is traded, you got two choices. Choice number one is you trade me to SmackDown. And actually, there's only one choice, so trade me to SmackDown. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to be behind you 100% like never before. And at our next pay-per-view, you're going to get a shot at the title. And HBK says, you know what? That's fine. Very quick to solve this issue. He didn't care about the shot at the title. He wanted Triple H. All right, how about a shot at the title? Bet. He said, what better way to get back at Triple H than to take the one thing that means to him? And he says, this time the kick is going to stick. Did you like that line, Tony?
Yeah, it's great. I remember that. The famous Shawn Michaels line. The kick will stick. You don't remember that?
No, Brett never said that line. I know that much.
Yeah, no
he
way.
Did it, when he did it to Brett, he said the kick will stick.
And then he and beat him?
Yeah, he said the kick will stick to Brett. He said, he also said, I'm a little bitch. I'm a little bitch boy. Oh, my God.
I remember that one, too.
Yeah, that was like his famous line. They made like four shirts with it.
But he never got pinned by Brett, so it didn't matter, you know.
That's also fair, though. He didn't.
Yeah, Brett didn't pin a lot of people. He made them tap like little bitches.
That is also true.
He didn't do that either, Deshaun, so it doesn't matter.
He didn't tap on his right. He didn't tap on mine as well. That's true.
Yeah, wrestling's fake.
So, yeah, I bet it is. Got nothing else, huh?
Tony Slam of the Week brought to you by Dragon Guard. What the fuck is this, James?
Hey, Slam of the Week brought you by Dragon Guard.
Near Automation or whatever, James.
Molly
said,
Holly is bald.
Near Automation.
You're on Tombada. Oh my God, man. Sheesh.
Fucking hell. Typical Bret Hart fan.
Oh my God.
Yeah, don't even tell me you played Near Automation.
Oh my God. Here we go.
Well, Molly Holly comes out with the wig on, and then Lita rips the wig off, and JR says, "That is really hideous." Why was Molly Holly's whole gimmick as, wow, look how fucked up this girl is.
The slam of the week. Molly Holly is bald, everybody. Thank you, Drakengard, for sponsoring this segment.
This woman is ugly, Drakengard.
Based. Draft Lottery Town Hall.
Here we go. Coming Eric Bischoff. Who's coming
to Raw, James? Who's
coming to
Raw? Who does he draft? Who does he draft? Who does he draft?
It's, of course, Pro Wrestling Noah's own Tajiri.
He's here!
The Japanese buzzsaw. Akio and Sakota are not happy about this in the back, who were with Tajiri at the time. And then Tajiri hugs them and cries because he knows they're both about to get fired.
No!
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So yeah, Tajiri is going to Raw. Heyman says, "You can do the whole cap and shirt routine. I'm bored." SmackDown is pleased to announce the former member of the Raw roster. His mic is breaking up as he does this. A very good friend of mine, Theodore Long. And they go backstage and show the shot of Theodore Long, who is very happy about this. Jazz, who he manages, is not happy, and Teddy Long does not care.
And then Jazz says, "I don't really care either. I made more money without you anyway."
Fuck yeah.
Teddy Long gets drafted, and Taz and Michael Cole say, believe that on commentary.
Believe that, player, player, and player.
Eric Bischoff then draws Edge to Raw.
Former Internet Continental Champion is what he
but
says.
But he's not even here. He's not here. He's not even here, okay, though. How so can he get drafted? He's not even here.
They obviously dub.
You know what's funny about that? They explained this at the top of the show, that and he was there, and he heard it. He's not even here right now. How's he going to get drafted? What are you doing here? Why can just hear Vince McMahon going, "I don't have to fucking say that. You're confusing him.
Tell them. Remind those idiots.
Say no commentary
here." Fucking Edge's. Obviously, I think they dub this because it's usually Rob Zombie. But was this dubbed the Raw theme? Or was it actually they just played the Raw theme because they didn't want to play Edge's music to give away the pop when he comes out later?
Oh, maybe. What?
I don't know.
Because they they dub Edge's theme with his, you know, "You Think You Know Me" regular one.
Sure.
Over the Rob Zombie one later. Here, it's just the Raw theme. So I don't know. So if anyone has the OG of this, tell us what they use for this part.
Yeah, for sure.
Heyman says, "Wipe that smile off your face before I wipe it off for you anyway." To pick up the pace like we do on SmackDown. Our final pick of the evening is... And then Heyman throws the pick away. And Bischoff goes and picks it up and says...
This is crazy. This is crazy.
Bischoff picks it up and says, "Wow, congratulations. SmackDown gets Spike Dudley."
Hey, come on. Come on, Heyman, man. That's
well,
fucked
Heyman's
up.
Like, "That little fucking stooge is coming on the
show." And Andy Priest said, "That bitch.
Damn it." With the headbutt cheese.
Stooge,
they're never going to patch
Dudley,
this
fucking
patch
bitch.
They're never going to patch this.
Patch.
SmackDown says, "Well, at least on SmackDown I'll have someone to pick on anyway." So here's our final member.
Dude, holy shit,
they
man.
Shit on Spike Dudley so crazy here. What the fuck?
That's crazy. Yeah,
just
that is
fuck
nuts.
This little fucker.
They start out with Renee Dupree and end with Spike Dudley. Wow.
Well, don't worry,
fuck?
Tony. It's not over just yet because Raw has one more pick here. And Eric Bischoff's final pick is Paul Heyman. Oh my
man.
God. Vince said anybody.
Wait, what?
Can
how does
every,
that work?
That
how
means
you,
everybody,
that?
Tony. Everybody can be drafted.
How did
Paul
that?
Heyman.
Yeah, Tony. How did that happen? Oh my God.
Paul Heyman.
Tell him
here.
That was explained to him
He's
earlier.
He's not here.
Tell him that was explained to him.
We said it at the top. WWF. Fuck E. So they show the SmackDown locker room celebrating that Paul Heyman got drafted, which I thought was pretty cool. The Raw locker room is not happy that Paul Heyman's coming to Raw. Bischoff says, "This is going to work out great because I could use some help. You know, I got some laundry I need taken care of. My car needs to be washed. I got an internet bill, a phone bill.
got WWE champions to play.
Yeah. $10,000 champions. Got to get that rocking here. Heyman says, listen, man, I would rather go die in hell than
with Renee Dupree.
I would die in hell before I go to Raw. I'll tell you that much.
He said, I will never sell my soul to a piece of slime like you. Screw you. I quit. And he leaves. And then Bischoff says, all right. No problem.
He said, the good guys win again.
Another one for the good guys. He says, I've stood up to two general managers. I've stood up to Stone Cold, and I'll make it clear the talent on both rosters. Eric Bischoff is back in a damn big way. My way. And then, oh, my God, Edge is here. What the fuck? How is he here? They told me he wasn't going to be here.
He's not even here.
Tell him to say that he could be here. You're so fucking Barry Spike, dummy.
Fuck
you.
So
fuck
Edge
you,
gets,
Spike.
Edge comes down. He gets in the ring and then spears Bischoff. And Bischoff's head hits the bottom turnbuckle.
God. That's so fucked because Bischoff didn't want to take it. His head bounces off the bottom turnbuckle.
He killed him, man.
Why
that was fucking
did
crazy.
He do that?
I don't know. I loved it, though.
I couldn't even believe
what
that Bischoff took the meanest, like, he didn't even bump for it. He just
died. No, he dies, man. Bro. It was
Edge is in the craziest attire in the world, by the way.
What is this
he somehow found pleather pants with stars on the side of them in the biggest Goldberg-ass jacket I have ever seen in my life, man. This guy came out and thought he was Goldberg and speared Eric Bischoff.
That's right. He does the rock spot.
This is crazy, man.
That's right. He all. By the way,
nah, man. The dick eating's crazy.
He doesn't change to Metalingus until November of this year. So he's still using Rob Zombie here.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah,
good.
No, it is very good.
Metalingus can metaling my balls in its mouth.
Analingus is what I would prefer.
Fuck
Tony.
Spike Dudley. Yeah.
Fucking Spike Dudley, you little bitch. You suck. You suck. Tony sucks. He sucks.
He sucks big time.
Unlike DPW No Pressure, pick. That was good.
DPW No Pressure,
that
good.
Was good.
Spike Dudley, bad.
Rampage at 10.
So Triple H versus Eddie Guerrero, once in a lifetime, legit.
WWE title on the line, the only time they've ever wrestled each other ever, as far as I know. At least
that's
singles,
crazy.
For sure singles, but I don't think they've been involved in a match together ever, which is
crazy.
Insane.
It is.
Triple H comes out with the Raw shirt on and rips it off to expose the SmackDown shirt, which is I vividly remember that in my brain, like him doing that.
They go crazy on commentary for it. Why is he wearing a Raw shirt? Hey, he can't wear a Raw shirt. Why is he's on SmackDown.
Bitch.
Why is he wearing a Raw shirt?
You're right. He is also gigantic here, by the way, not using steroids.
Who? Triple H?
Both.
This whole main event?
Yeah. The whole scene.
Dude, Eddie looks like he's about to burst out of his skin. Like, it looks
his
like his
shoulders
skin,
are about to explode.
It's stretched to its max. This is like... Yeah, this is insane.
That's fucking nuts. He comes out and he tilts the lowrider on its side and it looks like it's going to flip over. I was very horrified. But he gets a big Eddie chant, which was pretty cool, going up against Triple H here. They start the match. Eddie extends the hand. Triple H goes to take it, but Eddie then smacks his ass in his direction.
He wipes his own ass with his own hand.
That wow. is... With his own hand? He does it?
I wipe my own ass! I wipe my own ass!
I know, buddy. I know!
Why do you win? Because I do. I win.
That's Eddie Guerrero.
That's Eddie, yeah. So Triple H throws Eddie into the stairs at one point and fucking destroys him with it. That was... crazy. A bunch of back and forth here. A lot of Triple H on top, of course, but Eddie
this
gets
was a well-worked TV match. They start off with the International, which is insane. Seeing Triple H take a hip toss and arm drag from the smaller dude is always like crazy, but Triple H was never afraid to bump for dudes like that.
No. Dude, Triple H took a tilt-a-whirl head scissors from Eddie here.
Yeah, and the crowd popped for it. Good stuff. Yeah. I mean, Triple H was on top for a very long time, but that's kind of how it works. Everything was good in this match and fine, like until it gets down to like the end of it.
So Eddie does a jump back off the second tornado DDT for a two count, which is cool. Eddie goes for the Three Amigos, but then here comes Flair and Batista wearing the Raw shirts. Now, during this match, by the way, it is Cole and Taz commentating this because it is a SmackDown match. Once Flair and Batista come out, it changes to JR and Lawler commentating, which
was awesome.
That was
crazy.
Love that. Yeah. I was so thrown off. I was like, what just happened? I was like, oh, because it's Raw now. Okay. Triple H hits a DDT on Eddie. Flair distracts the ref. Batista gives Triple H the title. Cena and Rey come out to attack Batista, whooping his ass. Triple H goes to hit Eddie with the belt. Shawn Michaels gets in the ring. Sweet chin music to Triple H. And then hits a house show dive on a pile of people on the outside.
I've never seen a group of people catch somebody as
so
well,
nicely.
Yeah, as well as it was like everybody knew their career was on the line if they
especially
didn't catch
Ric Flair.
Catch this house show dive. Somebody was going to get fucking killed backstage. And it was going to be Spike Dudley.
So Sean hits him with the sweet chin music. Eddie goes up for the frog splash. I'm like, whoa, does Eddie fucking win here? That's awesome. He's the champ. That makes sense. That's cool. Eddie goes for the frog splash. Christian crotches him on the top rope. Disqualification. I should have known better.
Holy fucking shit.
I should have fucking known.
Holy
the crowd was so hot, man.
Fucking shit.
This is the WWE champion.
Cannot believe that Triple H wouldn't just take the frog splash pin for this one. You could have kicked out at 3.1.
Yeah, you're right.
The crowd was so ready
they
for
wanted
it.
So, and they never go back to it, which
they
is even
never
worse.
Return to it,
no,
which is...
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't
fuck,
know.
Fuck, man. Crazy.
I mean, especially after Eddie sold his ass off for Triple H in this one. Like, it was a lot of Triple H doing his shit, and Eddie was selling like crazy for him.
Hell, yeah.
You couldn't just take the frog splash finish, even after the interference from HBK? I don't
and
know,
the,
bro.
The frog
that's a
splash,
little weird, bro. I'm just going to say.
Everyone, the frog splash is made. He beat Brock with this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Beat fucking Kurt with this fucking thing. Everyone has lost to this fucking frog splash, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. A little weird. Just a little weird.
Cringe. Spike Dudley.
L. Bitch. Fuck you.
RVD comes in. RVD comes in and attacks Christian because RVD is now on SmackDown, so he has to beat up the Raw guy. All the stars are here. Johnny Nitro, Garrison Cade, Val Venus, and Lance Storm jump RVD. The SmackDown locker room empties out for the brawl. Eddie and Triple H are brawling in the ring while there's a big fight around the ring. This is a cool fucking scene here. I'm disappointed by the finish, but all this stuff I thought was fucking chaotic and fun to watch. Lawler and JR said, come on. Lawler says, come on, JR. We need to go down there and hit Cole and Taz. Which is fucking crazy. So SmackDown's whooping ass. Glass shatters. Stone Cold comes out on the ATV and he's bringing the troops. The Raw roster empties out. There's a 40-man brawl to Stone Cold's music. Austin gets off the ATV and starts beating up SmackDown.
Why?
Guys.
Why you get off the ATV? Know. Why not drive the ATV down there like GTA or something? Just
he
should have
ran people over, Tony. You're right.
That would have been awesome.
So
why did the
ends?
Raw roster not want to come help till Stone Cold brought him out?
They don't give a fuck, man. They work tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Chris Benoit didn't want to help Eddie or anybody until
no
Stone Cold said, hey!
Fuck, get on down here, son. Hey, get on. What are you doing? What are you doing, Spike?
That's a little crazy. Just saying.
So the show ends with a big brand brawl, which was a cool way to end the show.
Ends with a ski woe. We're all out of time.
Definitely, yeah. So the post-draft... is what takes place before midnight. Kurt Angle eventually becomes the GM here of SmackDown. In my mind, I was like, oh, Teddy Long got drafted because he's going to be the GM.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But
that's
no,
what I thought,
but... it's not what happens. Kurt Angle, I think, is kind of injured at this time. This is around like WrestleMania where like he called Vince and said, hey, man, my whole body is numb and I can't wrestle. I'm going to do the match, but just letting you know that I can't feel anything. So Kurt becomes the GM. Drafted to SmackDown now. Booker T. So him and RVD are back together.
Oh, that's fine.
Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley. Rico and Miss Jackie. That was not a combo one. Those were two separate ones.
Huh.
So drafted to Raw, A-Train, Chuck Palumbo, and Triple H. Triple H goes back to
what
Raw.
A trade. What the hell?
Does Triple H ever show up on SmackDown once after this, or is it immediately?
I think he shows up on the next episode.
Okay, yeah,
on the
that makes sense. And then he's immediately drafted back. So I think I'm not positive. I'll look while I say this, but I think that he was drafted back to Raw in exchange for the Dudleys. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I think that was the trade. Yeah, that was
because obviously this is an uneven thing. SmackDown had 5 people and Raw got 3, so I think the Dudleys were the difference there, which is sweet. that's not a bad fucking switch up there. So there you go. That is the first ever draft lottery. What do you think, Chuck Palumbo, James?
It's awesome. I thought Chuck was a chameleon almost. I feel like any gimmick he ran, he was good with it.
He was an Italian sometimes. He was the Undertaker sometimes.
Italian Chuck Palumbo was awesome.
Based as hell.
That was like, they could have ran for a long time with that, I think.
What about Rico and Miss Jackie? You saw their tremendous performance against Kane. They are now
Well, of
going
course,
to
Rico, pro wrestling Noah guy.
Is that right, too?
I swear I remember him having a Noah run.
That's probably right, honestly.
Rico, WWE, I'm guessing. I'd have to look that up.
A-Train was traded to Raw on March 22nd before
I'm
making
sorry,
his debut.
All Japan guy.
All Japan, of course.
All
yes.
Japan guy.
So was A-Train. A-Train
awesome.
Was also All Japan guy. New Japan.
New Japan, yeah.
A-Train went debuted on Raw on June 7th, losing to Chris Jericho. His last match was a loss to Val Venus on Heat. And then he tore his rotator cuff and was released in November.
Huh.
Okay.
Fuck. So yeah, this really is gonna shake things up, Renee Dupree.
Triple H going back and forth is yes,
that
very
is
on
fucking
brand.
Crazy, yeah. But there you go. That was the first.
He switched rosters just to get
week.
The world title match and then go back.
Just to fucking not lose to Eddie.
That's crazy.
Beast. He looked fucking gigantic, too. Any other feelings about this draft?
Fuck you, Spike Dudley.
Yeah. Fuck you, Spike. Rampage at 10. We're out of time. We gotta go.
No pressure. Good. No pressure was good.
Great. It was great. Please watch it.
Fantastic. I thought it was a good show.